Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Thursday. Another night, by the way, with S. Claus on the radio. Have I mentioned I'm a huge fan? Love S. Claus. The magic radio continues to do mystical things.
Hard to believe only 7 more shows before his trip around the world.
Wow. Wow, that's great.
How about that? Yeah, the season always moves quick.
Yeah, it does. It does. But you know what? You think about something that's an 84-year tradition. 84 years. It's funny because I was talking just the other day about traditions. In other words, the college football playoff is going to be on New Year's Eve again. Okay, great. Good for you, you know? I remember when they were going to put it there, they said, we're going to create a new tradition. Well, I'm sorry, but you don't just create a new tradition. I mean, you remember the Love You Lion towels? Yeah, okay. How did that, you know, right now, there's a whole bunch of those sitting in basements. Love You Lions. We're going to wave Love You Lion towels at every game. Okay, sure. How'd that work out? You don't just create new traditions. I mean, traditions happen over time. Well, Santa Claus has been on the air with the Magic Radio now 84 years. There are people that have moved away that call in. What does that tell you? Hey, what does that tell you?
And Chad Hirschberger, who has helped out on this show during my days off, he had his son on Talk to Santa for the first time last night.
Oh.
Oldest daughter has been on a few times, so she was the wily veteran going into last night's show.
Oh, well, of course. Of course. Yes. So, S. Claus, I'm a huge fan. And, tomorrow I've got to go get the Christmas tree. Believe it or not, I received approval to go. Now, you don't think I'm going on my own, do you?
Nah, you got to have a second opinion. You got to make sure you're bringing home the right one. You don't want to get the thumbs
down. Second opinion? Second opinion? What are you talking about? You're acting like I have an opinion.
Well, no, the thing is, though, you don't want to come home and it's the wrong one, and then Kathy tells you, nah, put that back on top of the vehicle, get me another one, you know?
Second opinion. I'm there to load and transport.
To kife a line from you, you know where your bread is buttered. We know who's really steering the ship here.
I have no say on this thing, except to tie the thing down and get back. I'm not complaining. Because I don't need the problem of making a mistake. There's a lot of guys out there going, yeah.
There's more guys than you think that are you kid. They're in the same wheelhouse.
There are people listening right now going, oh, yeah, you better believe it, man. I'm with you. I hear you. I feel your pain, brother. Going on and on and on. All right, Bob Flanders is going to join us today. And also joining us on the show today, we got Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Network. I mean, look, it's the wind chill here at the moment is 12 below zero. You might as well talk hockey. Right?
Pens are on fire.
Won 7 in a row, but the Flyers are on fire even more so. They've won 10 in a row. Can you believe that? Very nice. And then tomorrow, we've got our bowl extravaganza tomorrow. I think we have to explain to my brother that this is not being added into what we've done this year. This is just a separate deal. I think it'll make him feel better. Like he's got more control over the situation.
Yeah, but you're putting his head on the swivel for a little bit, so now there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, it's, we've done it. Now, the suit. Is the suit getting any work done?
As far as I know.
No, you and I both know he is researching this thing because
actually, I was in a technological pinch last night before I left the building, and to steal a line from Jennifer Wakeman, he saved my bacon. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, so I offered him lunch. I said, "I'll take you out to lunch today," but he said he was busy.
Yeah, he's busy researching bowl games. Because he's the two-time defending champion, and you know how ultra-competitive he is. He wants this thing more than a Danville championship. Right?
Yeah.
He's just disappointed I didn't go out and buy like a belt. Or a trophy or something like that.
A championship pro wrestling-esque belt.
Because he's won this thing 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
It's been great. The NBA did something that really surprised me. And we rarely talk about the NBA. But I am here. The NBA Players Association and the league shocked me and came to a collective bargaining agreement yesterday, which is unbelievable. I would have told you with absolute certainty that the NBA was going to not have labor peace and would be in a lockout a year from now. I would have told you that with absolute certainty. Nope. 180. They got it done 9 months ahead. Now, there's one area that's going to affect college basketball, and that is this. There is no change at all in the one-and-done rule. This collective bargaining agreement will run the next 7 years. At minimum, it runs 6. The NBA Players Association can opt to have it reopened at the end of 6. But it's a 7-year deal with a 1-year option on it. And it does call for being 19 years of age and in school 1 year, or out of high school 1 year. Out of high school 1 year. Like Moutier, for example, went over and played in China and then was drafted. So you have to be 19 years of age and out of high school 1 year, which for the vast majority of players means playing 1 year of college. The league wanted 2 years and 20 years of age. I think one of the goals of the league has to be, I think you want a more mature clientele working for you. But that's not. Now, the Players Association did put on the table, though, something that is interesting, that they wanted players to leave after high school after being at 18 years of age. But if they didn't, they'd have to stay 2 years. It was called, I think, 18 plus 2, or 18 or 2. Is what it was called, 18 or 2. Now, that I do find an intriguing proposal, which I wish the owners had explored more of. College basketball is being hurt by the indirect consequences. Anytime you do something, there are always, you know, some sort of consequence that goes with it. Unintended consequence. And for the NBA, there's no unintended consequence for them. They're in good shape. But for college basketball, there is a problem. And for college basketball, the problem is as follows. You look over at one and done, and the unintended consequence is this. These guys go to school one semester, and do you think they give a darn about any class they're taking in the second semester? I mean, really.
I'd probably put Ben Simmons in that category for sure.
Right. They don't care. Now, that's one. Now, let's get to the marketing of college basketball. And that is as follows. When Bill Walton played at UCLA, every year you expected Bill Walton to be back at UCLA until he graduated. Or Lou Alcindor. Or Ralph Sampson. Any of the Kentucky players, whatever. North Carolina. You expected them to be there for a long period of time. Well, now it's so transient that the stars, I think for the last 5 years, a true freshman has been the player of the year. Well, that one of the true freshmen that's been National Player of the Year, a Wooden Award winner, not one of them has come back to play a second year. I mean, why would they? And that's where college basketball is being hurt. You know, our fans sit there and like, oh, okay, the get to know you, he's gone. We'd like to get to know, he's gone too. There's the unintended consequence for college basketball. And college basketball has nothing to do with this. There is nothing they can do about it. I think there are too many people that have this silly notion that it's actually a college basketball rule that lets them go after 1 year. It is not. This is an NBA rule negotiated by the NBA and the Players Association. The NCAA, college basketball, has zero to do with it except be a hostage to it. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Happy holidays from everyone at Penn's Tavern. It's time for gathering friends and family, and Penn's Tavern wants you to make them your setting for your holiday party. Historic Penn's Tavern, recently voted as the Daily Item's 2016 Reader's Choice for Best Tavern, is waiting for you. Penn's Tavern has an ambiance that cannot be duplicated. The Sarah Room is the original structure of the tavern. Built circa 1700s, the Sarah Room has original stone walls and wooden floors for an unmatched old world feel. The Wixted Room, overlooking the Susquehanna River, attaches to a more modern River Room pub. The River Room has 12 local microbreweries on tap. And just in time for the holidays, choose Penn's Tavern gift certificates for the perfect stocking stuffer. Purchase 5 gift certificates in the same amount and receive a gift certificate of the same value at no charge. Call to reserve your date and time for a memorable holiday gathering at 570-286-2007 or go to PennsTavern.com. Wishing you all the best, not only during the holidays, but the whole year through. From everyone at Penn's Tavern.
Great to have you with us. We roll on here today. And Bob Flounders in the next half hour. We'll talk with him from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Yeah. So we got a lot coming up. A lot coming out here. And Josh Getzoff's going to join us as well. Talk about the Penguins. Since the wind chill's 12 below zero, we thought talking hockey today wouldn't be a bad thing to do.
Yeah, speaking of wind chill and cold temperatures, I don't know if you heard about this. Bears-Packers on Sunday. Yes. Now, that's not one of the games that we'll be picking tomorrow. But anyway, that could be... This is crazy. Since they started checking the weather records back in 1963, it'll be the coldest high temperature for a Bears-Packers game on Sunday.
Yeah. The previous have been 2 degrees, I believe. Now, they'll break that record with complete ease. This is going to be, what, 3 below, it said? That sound right?
Yeah. Then, Gabe, you're standing outside. I probably couldn't tell the difference between 2 above and 3 below anyway.
Mentally, you can.
That wind, though. Oh, some of those snow squalls coming around this morning. That was unexpected.
No, I expected the snow squalls. You know, it's something, you know, of course, I'm wondering about Saturday because we have to leave at 8 a.m. on Saturday and go to New York. I don't know what to, supposedly there's going to be a lot of ice. Well.
Yeah, I've already heard 2 different figures. I guess it all depends on what time it decides to flip over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. So, you know, we'll find out. It'll be all good. Not a problem. Be not a problem. So, but that's what we have coming up, and then we'll talk to Bob Flounders. It'll be good to have him on the show to talk about his perspective, I mean, because he's covered the team for a long time. And when you've covered the team for a long time,
I always like those little 3-4 minute videos that he and David Jones does after all the games.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me that they like that very much, so it's good. Yeah, that's good. We'll talk to him about that. Then I think I was on their podcast today. I did their podcast with him today. Something like that. Yeah. We'll talk to Bob about all that and more coming up. So a lot going on.
By the way, I did reach out to Bob Soci, the play-by-play announcer for the New England Patriots. Heard back from Bob rather quickly, so hopefully things fall into place. We'll have him on next week.
Oh, good. I like Bob.
So I was really looking forward to talking to you again, and you've had a chance to talk with him on many occasions, and a big fan of yours.
No, I like Bob a lot.
Yep, me too.
I've actually been in touch with Gil Santos. In fact, Gil sent me an email last week. I owe him a reply, and I'm going to get back to him probably tonight. I think people hear me talk about Gil with great respect and affection because there'd be people out there saying, yeah, well, you stink anyway, but... because of him, I don't stink as bad. How about that? He gave me the best shot at being decent. How about that? All right. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, Reichle and Lawrence are going to have an argument tomorrow.
And you've known Reichle for so long, he's about as cool as a customer as you can get.
Oh, he is, very much so. I'm telling you. You know how everybody argues with Lawrence? Have you noticed the common denominator?
Although it is brutal honesty at the start of every show when he says that he's the subpar host. So he kind of warns you right off the bat.
Interesting, yeah. All right. I'm just saying, you know, I just want to know what the common denominator is. And I've come to that conclusion. And what's interesting is after coming to that conclusion, Lawrence's wife backed it up. Just kidding. We're having a little fun here. All right. Yeah. Well, Mark's looking around going, no, we're not. We're having fun here at all. What are you talking about? This isn't any fun. Come on. You're killing me here. All right. Well, let's get back to business. By the way, I have to do the promo for tomorrow's show.
Okay.
You're going to love it.
Can't wait.
Oh, you're going to love it. Well, you're always the first to hear it.
That's right.
Most of them are mundane. What's coming up? Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Well,
this one.
Well, every once in a while, though, we'll do one for a few laughs. What was it? One day I did one where I said, Dan, coming up in today's show, Sean Kerry and I will have an argument. Right? And then I paused for, I don't know, a second. I said, no. That's not what we do on our show. And you couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I couldn't either. And then the funny part, then when we were running it the next morning, we played and then we go into the weather and there's Mark laughing on the radio.
Well, that was the whole point of it. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this. Then there was the one where Mark and I did a competition. This lasted a few weeks. You know, where every once in a while, how long could we pause between Sunbury Broadcasting and then say app? And the two of us did a little competition on that for a while. It didn't be this long pause, app. That's like what Pat Summerall used to do. Pat Summerall would have to, on CBS, promote Murder, She Wrote.
And oh, so yeah, he plugged the plugged the primetime shows.
Yeah, and he'd say, coming up tonight, Angela Lansbury on Murder, She Wrote. And there'd be a competition in the truck as to how long Pat would delay saying She Wrote. And Mark and I did that with the Sunbury Broadcasting app for a period of time.
Hey, it's a little stuff that keeps us going.
Josh gets off from the Penguins Network in just a few minutes. Bob Flounders next half hour. First of this day in sports history. 1917, the Wayback Machine. 99 years ago today, the first exhibition game was played 4 days before the start of the regular season. The Montreal Canadiens and the Montreal Wanderers played a benefit game for victims of the Halifax explosion, which had occurred 10 days earlier. 1925, the third Madison Square Garden was opened with a game between the Canadians and the New York Americans. Penn State will play in the fourth Madison Square Garden, which was opened in 1968, coming up on Sunday. 1966, the New Orleans Saints became the 16th NFL franchise. 1974, the Dolphins won at the Orange Bowl for the 31st consecutive time. 1982, Paul Bear Bryant announced his retirement as the head football coach at Alabama. This was following the Liberty Bowl against Illinois. Let's see. 1997, the 49ers retired Joe Montana's number 16 during halftime of a game with the Denver Broncos. And that is this day in sports history. Bob Flounders, next half hour. Josh Getzoff joins us from the Penguins Network. Josh, welcome. Happy holidays to you and yours. Great to have you with us. You know, the Flyers have won 10 in a row, but the Penguins have won 7 in a row. So what are a couple of the common denominators in what we're seeing in the Pens right now? Figure we'd talk hockey since the wind chill is 12 below zero.
I think the two biggest things And I talked to Chris Kunitz about this today in the Penguins dressing room after their practice. The two biggest things have been the scoring depth, because that's been absurd. I mean, Sidney Crosby's stats have stood alone as the best in the NHL and clearly has carried this Penguins team. But entering this past week of action, had 18 players that had dressed in their lineup that had recorded a point here in December. So during this run that they're on, which has been in December, the whole month they're 7-0 so far, they're getting guys scoring every night. And you look at last night in that win over Boston, the goals from Bonino, Schultz, Rust, Sheary. I mean, these are guys, aside from Sheary, that don't log top 6 minutes, that don't log top 4 defensive minutes, but are continuing to produce and play in big spots for them. So I think that's definitely been a big part of it here through this win streak. The other thing has been something that's been carried over, fortunately for them, from last season, and that's just the resiliency of the group, because they have gone down a bit during this winning streak. I mean, they haven't been in the cruise control seat the entire time in all these games that they've won. They've had to battle back actually in more than half of them, including last night against Boston, erasing 2-1-goal deficits in that game. So they've been really able to rally back and get themselves in positions to strike in these games, and they've been doing it up and down the lineup with production. So I think those are probably the two biggest keys to what's helped them get to seven straight wins at this point.
How steady have they been in between the pipes?
Oh, I mean, they've been... the thing is, Marc-Andre Fleury was so good in October, and obviously he had his struggles through the month of November. He started this streak, actually. He was the goaltender of record for the first couple of wins the Penguins got on this winning streak, and then was pulled from that game against the Ottawa Senators, and Matt Murray took over and now has started 4 straight games since then, and he's been rock solid. I mean, the crazy thing about Matt is that he's just 22 years old. He's already won an AHL Rookie of the Year award. He's already won a Stanley Cup. And the crazy thing is that I think a lot of people forget he's still technically, by classification this year, a rookie.
Right.
So he could still win the Calder Trophy as Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's going to be up there against some tough guys in Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. But he's right up there as far as the best young players in the National Hockey League. And he far and away leads all rookie goalies with 11 wins. I think last night one of the things that jumps out to you about how well he's been playing is one of the great characteristics he has. One of the great characteristics he has is he's never really able to be beaten down by any goal that gets by him. He kind of looks at it as a challenge to step up and make the next save. And a lot of times you'll see goaltenders kind of dwell on a bad goal if that does happen within a game. And last night you could argue that the goal the Bruins scored there late in regulation was a bad goal, and it was Murray's fault. I mean, he misplayed the puck behind the net, and David Pastrnak was able to swoop it up and score basically with Murray out of position to tie the game with under 7 minutes left. And Murray, I mean, again, a 22-year-old goalie makes that kind of mistake in a crucial point in the game. You're always curious to see how he's going to respond. And the Bruins got a little bit of a jolt from that, but Murray was able to make 2 or 3 really nice saves, including a couple in the final minutes of regulation to keep the Penguins tied. They did have a chance to win in the final minute of regulation. Connor Sheary had a breakaway, and he was stopped by Tuukka Rask at the other end, who was also great in the game. But I think that's just the latest example of Murray. And he's so... I mentioned the team being resilient. He's resilient himself between the pipes, and he's been a huge reason here for their success.
Now, obviously, Murray was not the Conn Smythe winner, but that, to me, one of the great trivia questions ever is name the guy that was the MVP of the playoffs, Conn Smythe winner, and then Rookie of the Year the next year, and that's Kenny Dryden.
Right.
You know, that, to me, is one of the great trivia questions of all time. Now, Matt doesn't quite fall into that category, but ends up backstopping a Stanley Cup and could be the Calder winner this year as the Rookie of the Year. The guys, though, playing in front of him. One thing that impressed me about the Penguins last year was team speed down the stretch and the commitment to playing two-way hockey by the forwards. Are you still seeing that commitment to playing two-way hockey by the forwards?
I think we're seeing it a lot more here the last couple of games than we have even in the beginning of this winning streak, or for that matter, the first quarter of the season. I mean, the Penguins were very adamant in the fact that they needed to shore things up defensively in their game. They're having no problem scoring, and that's continued. I mean, they're right up there, top 3 in the league in scoring. They've scored, it's kind of ridiculous to even say, but they've scored 4 goals in each of their 7 wins on this streak, 4 goals or more. So, I mean, they've had no problem putting the puck in the net. And, Steve, you and I know that if they're putting 4 more goals in the net a night with right. Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, chances are you're probably going to win most of those games.
Yeah, you're in good shape.
yeah, exactly. But they've been, you know, they've been trading chances, I think, a little bit more than they would have liked. Last night was a step back in that direction, I think. I think the prior two games, they were really happy with how they played as far as the 200-foot game was concerned and playing well offensively but also being steady at their own end and limiting chances. Bruins put up 44 shots last night. I know a lot of those were wide-angle shots, low-quality shots, but at the same time, they're getting pucks through. And that's something that's going to grab the Penguins' attention. And you're right, that was one of their big, big traits last year going through the playoffs. They were blocking shots. They sealed off lanes so well in the defensive end. And a lot of times, those block shots, those intercepted passes, they lead to rushes the other way. And the Penguins' speed, if they get in transition, I mean, there are very few teams that can keep up with them. Last night they weren't necessarily able to get to that as much, and I think you have to give the Bruins some credit because they're a very sturdy defensive team, right. And they wanted to slow the game down through the neutral zone, and the Penguins, I think, fell victim to that a bit. But overall, I mean, this was an effort that I think they still can be pretty happy with as far as getting the win is concerned, but certainly 44 shots against, you're going to want to tone that down a bit as the LA Kings come in here on Friday night, a team that they've already lost to once this year, but maybe doesn't have the offensive punch as some of the teams they've seen so far this season, but has some talent forwards up front that can bring it if the Penguins are going to take the night off.
Give me names of a couple of the young players that have quietly impressed you and understand their roles on the team.
That's funny. I was actually just talking with Phil Bork about it on our post-game show last night, and the two guys that really jump out to me, obviously Murray pushed aside for a second here because he's been so good and been a heavy topic of conversation, but the two guys that really jump out to me are Connor Sheary and Brian Rust.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when these guys were called up last year, particularly Sheary, you weren't really sure what you were getting there. You weren't sure if you had a stopgap until a player returned from an injury or if you had something legitimate there. And Sheary, as I'm sure you know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there know, it was lighting it up in the American Hockey League with Wilkes-Barre Scranton. I mean, he was earning his right to play a National Hockey League game. Same goes for Brian Rust. This guy was drafted by the Penguins. Sheary was not. He was an undrafted free agent signing. But Rust was, you know, he's drafted. There's expectation that he's going to maybe work his way up. But I don't think you knew to what extent he'd be up there and if he would be consistently up there. And, man, I mean, Connor Sheary has proven himself to be not just a legitimate NHL player, but I think a top six forward in the NHL, which is saying something. And I know a lot of that has to do with Sidney Crosby being his centerman for the large portion of his time in the NHL. But, hey, I mean, you can't pick who you play with. You only can excel when you get the opportunity. And he's really done that with the Penguins. Another goal last night, I mean, a pretty goal at that, a little redirection on the power play. And he's a guy that Mike Sullivan could put out there on the power play. He can spark him at 5-on-5. He has this speed game that Sullivan loves to play. He's gritty. I think his grittiness is underrated when he gets into the corners and below the goal line. He's a little guy, but he can really win puck battles and come out on top a lot in a lot of those 50-50 situations in and around the net. And it's paid dividends for the Penguins. I think as far as Brian Rust is concerned, this is a guy that you knew he had speed because that was what a lot of people talked about last year. But the touch maybe wasn't totally there for Brian Rust, and I don't know if it is still completely there, but it's certainly developing. He gets the overtime winner last night. And, again, another guy that has shown himself to be a capable penalty killer for the Penguins. Mike Sullivan can bump him in and around the lineup. He's very, he can play anywhere. I call him a chameleon from time to time, him and Matt Cullen. You can put him in any spot in that Penguin lineup, and they will both excel. And I think to that point, last night, the Penguins wanted to maybe jumpstart their offensive speed game a little bit more there in the third period after it had been kind of bogged down by Boston the first two frames. Mike Sullivan puts Connor Sheary and Brian Rust with Sidney Crosby there in the third period, and it resulted in a couple quality scoring chances. So I think those two, to answer your question, are really the two that have jumped out to me, and I think Penguins fans should be really excited about those guys in the future because they're both so young and they still are so raw in their development as far as their NHL players are concerned, but they're putting up points. They're both on pace for 20 goals this year.
Josh, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the information. I always enjoy the talks very much.
Thank you, Steve. And again, happy holidays to you and everyone out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy holidays to you too, Josh. Appreciate it. And we'll come back with more in a moment as this broadcast extravaganza that is only ours, because we're the only ones that would claim it, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water,
soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Katie, where's your Jergens? My lotion? Here in the shower where it belongs.
Wait, in the shower?
Yeah, Mom. I use Wet Skin Moisturizer from Jergens. It instantly locks in moisture from my shower, so my skin stays soft and luminous all day without that sticky lotion feel.
Moisture without that heavy feel? Can I borrow your Jergens Wet Skin Moisturizer?
And who said Mom always knows best?
You're more than just a pretty face. Jergens.
Great to have you with us on the show today. The wind chill here is 12 below zero. Perfect night for S. Claus to show up and have the magic radio do its magic. I think it is. Why not? Perfect. And that will be from 6 to 7 this evening. So 6 to 7 this evening, that'll take place. Now, you have an artificial tree. Is that that's true?
Yes. We've never had a real tree in the family, me growing up or currently. Yep.
You have one of those silver ones?
No.
Just kidding.
I know.
Just kidding. Every once in a while, you see it's like.
Although it is pretty decked out, it's kind of a Victorian theme to it. Angel on the top, and just kind of wonder. It can't be any room for any more ornaments or candy canes or another. It is a pre-lit tree, by the way.
So. Oh, is it? Oh, that's good.
Yes. Yep.
I'm a big
fan of those.
Oh. Yeah. I've had one of those. I had to restring the lights. The third year.
Yeah, there was about last year that we actually have a new artificial tree this year. The one we had last year, I think we had it for about four or five Christmases. There was a portion of the tree that wasn't lit, and it just couldn't take it anymore. So day after Christmas last year, we found one on clearance. Found a floor model, and they knocked a little more off the price and got it out of the tree bag a couple weeks ago. And
well, we got one knocked off the price a few years ago. It was $300, $299.99, and we got it for $29.
Wow!
Oh yeah, that was.
So that's like, that's the second tree you have in the other room. The living room one's the real tree, or do I have them mixed up?
Oh no, that's the one in the family room.
Gotcha.
The real one goes in the living room.
Right.
So, and that'll be the one where I have literally no control at all. Zero, zip, zilch, nada. No.
I could be a real Weisenheimer and say, hey, why don't you download the Periscope app to your iPhone and Periscope your tree experience and share it with the world tomorrow for us. We'd love to see it. But I know that won't happen.
Well, I'm not the suit.
Right.
Oh, good. More worthless stuff for us to watch. Great. Fabulous.
Although you are on Facebook, and now you can air video live on Facebook. Do that.
No.
Hey, one of these days we'll crack that egg. I don't know.
Look, I'm just trying to survive the experience. I'm not trying to broadcast it. All right. As far as I'm concerned, at that moment, I'm on downtime.
And well-deserved downtime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, it's... I mean, do you really think I'm going to have any say in what's going on?
Well, I figured you did because, you know, you do a huge portion of the decorating in and outside your home.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
I would have thought your lovely bride would, you know, value your opinion as to how things would look. Or what kind of tree would look great?
Yeah, can you get it on top of the car?
Can you get it through the front door? Good.
No. Well, the other one is, all right. Spin it around for me. Okay, I've just outlined all my jobs. Oh, and pay for it. Right, I'm just there for ornamental purposes and grunt work.